This conference will now be recorded.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the August 17th, 2023 Citizens Ethics Advisory Board meeting. First order of business is a roll call since we are hybrid here. Michelle Mullins. We know she's not going to join us today. Mary Bigelow.
Here.
Charles Fusano.
Here.
Karen Christiana.
Here.
Beth Cook.
Here.
Jason Farrell.
Here.
Cheryl Lipson.
Here.
Laura Schuyler.
Here.
Right. Thank you all. First order of business is approval of the July 20th regular meeting minutes. Can I have a motion to approve?
So moved, Cheryl.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Yeah, motion passes. Thank you very much, folks. And we also have approval of the July 31st special meeting of the nominating committee. And so this will be limited to Charles, Cheryl, and Laura. So can I get a motion from one of the three of you to approve?
So moved.
Cheryl, do you want a second?
Of course. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We've got Laura there too. Thank you. That motion passes. And in terms of my report, we do need a hearing officer for October. Can you believe that in August we're talking about October, but it's because our September meeting is so late that we want to make sure we give you all enough time. So that I think that's October 14th. Was that the
yes,
date you had given me?
October 12th. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. October 12th. Beth is good enough to serve in September for us.
Beth needs a backup, just in case.
Beth needs a backup. All right. Anyone want to
check my calendar? I've got a meeting, I'm sorry.
What's the date in September?
The 12th.
Oh, September?
September 14th.
You want me to be your backup? Oh, wait. I have the kids in. I can't.
What time is the? Are we scheduled? On the
September 14th is here.
Is there a particular time?
In terms of time, usually 10 o'clock, but it's up to the hearing officer to shift the start time.
And
so it doesn't have to start at 10.
Hopefully I won't need it, but just in case.
All right. Could it be virtual or does it have to be in person?
It could be virtual.
I will be the backup. I will be your backup.
Thank you. It's a role reversal.
I will. Sorry, folks. If I don't put it in my calendar now. Here we go. Okay, so for October 12th, we need a hearing officer. I'm sorry, Charles. Invading your space.
October 12th. I can do October 12th.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Charles. We have Charles for October 12th. All right. Next item of business is the election of officers. I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Tusano.
Thank you, Chair Castricone. This morning there was a meeting of the nominating committee for the Citizens Ethics Advisory Board to review the responses from all members of the board. To see who would be interested in taking a position. And as of this morning, the current chair, Dina Castricone, has said that she would like to remain. Michelle Mullins had said that she would rather not remain as vice chair. Ann Beth Cook has indicated her desire to be nominated for vice chair. So she is our nominee, and our slate of officers would be Dina Castricone for chair, and Beth Cook for vice chair. But there can be any nominations, if anyone has one, any nominations from the floor. Okay, hearing none, I would ask that we hold the election right here and right now. All those in favor of accepting... All those in favor of accepting the slate as presented by the committee, please respond by saying aye.
So we'll do a formal motion.
Vote has to be, yeah.
Formal motion. So,
Okay.
So you want to get a motion. Okay.
I'd ask for a motion that we accept the slate as proposed by the nominating committee. Second.
Laura.
Second the motion.
Oh, Laura's second.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So the motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Those are our new offices starting with October 1st.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you for that.
And thank you for stepping forward to take the positions.
I'm thrilled to have you, Beth, of course.
Yes.
So we didn't waste any time to get you back.
Yeah. Right back in June. You're in the groove.
All right. Well, thank you for your continued confidence in me. It's an honor to serve with you all.
Oh, we're just waiting for our free pens, that's all.
I didn't bring up this time. Somebody's counting.
Part of the campaign, you know.
Counting over there. All right, so our next item on the agenda is consideration of the petition for declaratory ruling from Carl Dudek. And we'll turn that over to General Counsel Brian O'Dowd.
Thank you, Chair Gascombe. Brian O'Dowd for the record. So this is very similar to the petition we received last month. In other words, it's one over which we just have no jurisdiction. It deals with the withholding of funds from somebody by the Office of the Treasurer's Department of Unclaimed Funds. There's no allegation of any state employer or public official doing anything improper here. It's just a decision by the agency over which we have no jurisdiction. So as the letter recommends, I certainly recommend the board deny the petition.
Any questions for Brian? All right, based on that, can I have a motion that we deny the petition for declaratory ruling from Carl Dudek?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Uh-oh, wait.
Just to clarify that the board is denying this for a lack of jurisdiction.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So let me amend that motion.
Right.
The motion is to deny the petition for declaratory ruling from Carl Dudek due to lack of jurisdiction.
Yes.
All right. So we'll do the vote on that again. Cheryl, do you want to move to
that
once again? Okay. Thank you. All those in favor as amended?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? All right, that motion passes. Thank you, Peter, for clarifying that. Brian, we'll stick with you for the legal position report.
Sure, so just a few things. I mentioned in there that we potentially would be receiving a request for an advisory opinion from either a caucus attorney or a legislator himself with respect to the legislator's outside employment as an attorney. As I noted in here, I issued informal advice based on prior advice that was given by the former commission 30 years ago. And the legislator appears would like to go to the board regardless. And I informed the caucus attorney that if that does happen, then the board would likely seek comment from all the caucuses, which allows all the caucuses, four caucuses, as well as any legislators to give comment. Pursuant to regulations, we have the authority to do that. And given the fact that this legislator happens to be a lawyer, and there are a lot of lawyers who happen to be legislators, this could impact a lot of them. So I informed them of that, and I have not heard back. The caucus attorney may be on vacation. I'm not quite sure. But presumably we will get that back shortly if he is going to go forward with it. I probably would put the petition on next month's meeting, but we wouldn't have a draft of anything because, again, this is not one that's going to be moved very quickly because, again, I would want to hear from a lot of people on this issue. The specific issue is a legislator in his private capacity as an attorney representing a client in litigation with respect to a recent bill that passed with the governor's gun bill. So the legislator would like to represent a client with respect to that, to basically declare that legislation unconstitutional. So that's the issue. I hear something.
That's not a first impression question for us, is it?
About 30 years ago, the executive director / general counsel of the former commission basically said that alone, a legislator as a private attorney, challenging the constitutionality of a statute, he said that alone is not a violation of the ethics code. It said there has to be something else. For example, you know, maybe that this happened to be a lobbyist who was lobbying him, the legislator, hard on the issue. And then, you know, he said, okay, well, I could represent you in my outside capacity as an attorney, something like that, drumming up business in your state capacity. So there had to be something more than just the fact that you're challenging the statute. So again, that was the opinion we had on it. And I relied on that, which we generally do in the legal division. If it goes to the board, obviously we can consider a lot of other stuff. I've actually had Melissa searching all over the country, and she's had numerous conversations with other commissions. It doesn't appear that this issue has been addressed formally by anybody, but a lot of them seem to be suggesting that it doesn't seem like it's an ethics violation. Maybe there's a legal ethics issue, a non-us issue, but nothing blatant, no blatant code violation in a situation like this. So that's kind of where it stands at this point. And as soon as I get back, hear back from them, I'll let you know. Also, another thing with respect to the administrating lobbying follow-up that I mentioned down here, I just want to thank Mary Ann for, I mean, she did a real deep dive into all this stuff, trying to figure out where all of this, where that statutory change came from with respect to expanding the definition of administrative lobbying to include contracting. And as you'll see from the materials, there was a huge scandal that, and that was the reason now that, the code covers contracting in terms of lobbying. So we just wanted the board to be aware of that. And I was also going to give a follow-up memo or have a conversation with the board with respect to some of the issues that were still kind of left open from last month's meeting. And I decided with Peter to hold off just because Board Member Mullins is not here today, just so she would have the opportunity to hear everything too. We decided just to hold off next month. So either I'll send a memo to you in the middle of you know, this next month, or I'll just address it at next month's meeting, to make sure the board has any follow-up questions. So that's all I have. Any other questions? Let me know.
Any questions for Brian? Thank you to you and your team for putting together that, that appendix. There is always a story, and it's
indeed
helpful to know what the background is. So really very, very helpful. Thank you.
And I want to thank Sarah, too. Sorry, because she was helpful in finding the article. She got Mary Ann, so.
The old articles. Yeah, good work. Good work. Thank you all.
Scandals never die.
All right, we are going to move on to our Enforcement Division report with Mark Wessels.
Thank you, Chair Castro-Crone. Good afternoon, Board. Just to make this very quick, you do have the Enforcement Report in your packet. We've been working very diligently on not only the confidential matters, but also the reporting initiatives. As you know, we're going through a little bit of a transition with Jim Montgomery switching over to the legal division. So we've been working hard to look at those matters that we can review and dismiss quickly. And we've sort of been clearing up our DACA a little bit. And then as far as the reporting initiatives are concerned, we have a few matters that are still open and actually there are a few counteroffers for today. And we'll probably get to those next. So. But thank you. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to field them.
Questions for Mark? No, I think you can just dive right into the counteroffers. We'll do this during the public session.
Okay. Should we have the – go ahead.
Except Beth.
No, go ahead, Mark. Beth has to leave.
Should the backup for Beth also
– leave just in case.
Okay.
So
we'll get you when we're done.
I don't see him.
Okay.
So Kevin Walton's your guy.
That's my guy.
Kevin, are you on the phone? I just did see him.
He was on
there.
Okay. So
Do we have some issues?
Go ahead.
No, just before we commence the offers, I just want to make sure that we're okay in terms of our equipment.
Thank you.
Melissa, are we good?
Mark, do you have hard copies for the board?
Can you give us a signal if you can hear us? Okay, good. Thank you. So we're good. All right.
Okay, so I thought that the subject of my counteroffer for 2023-09UP was here. He was here, and maybe he looks like he had to get offline for a second. So what I'm going to suggest is that we handle the other counteroffer first and give Mr. Walton time to pop back on if he
has. Maybe he's trying to renegotiate with his cell phone people.
Maybe he's trying to do that. We don't know. Yeah, so Mark, why don't you do your counteroffer?
All right. Mark's passing around the hard copy of the counteroffer, which I believe was emailed previously. Just by way of background, the ETH 2D for the second quarter, which is the June filing, was due on or before July 10th. This client has previously not filed on time, so when they did not file on time, we sent an immediate notice of hearing to them, which went out on the, I believe, 18th. I then emailed the notice of hearing to them on the 24th, left a message for them regarding the delinquent filing on the 28th, and then eventually spoke to the individual, Craig Hazel, who provided this counteroffer on the 31st regarding the filing not being done. Subsequently filed on the 31st, and then, I provided a settlement offer. Their filing was 21 days late. Our offer was $210. I told them they didn't like that. They could provide a counteroffer, which is what they have done. And I think that's kind of it background-wise. I'm happy to answer any questions. I think the only other thing I would add is that when we started this, sending out the notice of hearing, the second quarter filing was in draft, but had not been filed. So, happy to answer any questions if you guys have any.
And Mark, do we have, are we sure if the other caller is anyone from the, if we can just make sure that the respondent is present?
Is Craig Hazel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Craig.
Yes, Craig Hazel, representing Neighborhood Music School, is on the line.
Mark, is
am I able to be heard?
This is not the first time that there's been a late filing.
That's correct.
And
can anyone hear me?
To the best of my knowledge, our electronic filing system is very self-explanatory. And not that hard to follow.
Can
anyone hear me?
Yes, Mr. Hazel, what were the difficulties in filing through the electronic system? What made it hard to follow?
So the first filing that was delinquent had to do with the transition. I was new to the organization. My predecessor, there was no transition between myself and my predecessor. So, I was not aware of this filing until after the fact. That was the reason for the first, delinquency. For this one, and there was in between, my first one and the second one, filed on time. And now this one, was a little bit unorthodox in that historically we had an amount to report. And in this particular case, there was no amount to report. And so as I was attempting to complete the information, I got back a confirmation that it was filed and that it was filed on time. I was not aware that this filing was, incomplete, until I received notification from the gentleman from the defense office. That's when I first became aware that something had gone astray with the filing, and it was immediately corrected because there was no amount due. It was just a reporting issue. I heard someone just say that it's pretty self-explanatory, and I would strongly disagree that your system is not as simplistic as you think it is, and that is why people have to call the office to get assistance. even when after being notified that our filing wasn't completed properly, I still had to get assistance from the office in order to file properly, indicating that there was no amount to report.
Go ahead.
So that is the reason why there was a delinquency, is because we filed it, but apparently it wasn't filed correctly. And that original filing was done on time.
Okay, so when you found out it hadn't been filed correctly, how long did it take you to call the office to help work through the filing?
It was either the same day or the next day that I got assistance from the office, and then we filed it.
A couple things I'd clarify for you is he filed a July report on July 10th. The July report, the ETH2D, is different than the June second quarter. This concerns the June second quarter report. So the July was done on July 10th. I mean, that's supposed to cover all of July, I believe. But that's not the report at issue. It's the second quarter, which was filed on July 31st. So it's two separate filings. And in terms of, correspondence with him, like I said, the notice of hearing went out on July 18th via the mail. I emailed the notice of hearing on the 24th and then left a message on the 28th and then eventually got in contact with them on the 31st. That's when the filing was done, and that's also when the settlement offer was provided. So that's kind of the timeline.
Thank you.
And as I was saying, it was an error, an honest error. We weren't attempting to file a July report for the whole month of July on July 10th. That doesn't even make sense. What we were trying to file is the quarter report that was due for June 30th, or as of June 30th. It was done by an honest error. And that error was not even brought to our attention until I received the phone call from the gentleman that was just speaking. It's at that point that the correction was made, contacted the office, tried to figure out how to correct it properly, and that July report that he stated was filed on the 10th has to be amended because that wasn't accurate for the whole month of July. That was attempted to be filed for the period ending June 30th.
Who's asking for $100? The offer is $100.
Mark, what are the due dates for filing June and July?
So the June second quarter was due on or before July 10th. And then the July report is due
before August.
Yeah. What's it like?
July reports are due third and fourth quarter reports. Third and fourth quarter reports.
Right. So.
Yeah.
And they're due January 10th for the month of July. But if we're dealing with the second quarter report, those are correct, as you correctly stated, July 10th.
Yeah.
Good. Well, one could see we're clearly not trying to file the third and fourth quarter at the beginning of July. That was the effort to file the June 30th report. It just was done incorrectly by an honest mistake.
Okay.
I think I would just go with a counteroffer and be done with it.
Was the what was filed on the July report using the wrong form, would it have included all the information that should have appeared on the second quarter June report?
If that question is for me, the answer is yes. We had $0 to report as payments to any advocacy efforts.
Does our system ever create a problem for a $0 report?
Not that I'm aware of. And routinely, if someone were to ask about a filing with zeros, we would tell them that, you know, by statute, you have to file regardless of if it's $1 million or $0.
So quarterly reports are mandatory, regardless how much you've expended.
Okay. Any who wants to lead the discussion on this? As I said, as far as I'm concerned, it's small enough. It's not worth our time to keep going on with this. Okay. So I would accept $100. I don't know if you can hear us, Jason, Karen, Laura, but our feeling is that at this point we just take the $100 and move on. If there is a future filing that's late again, then all bets are off.
I agree.
I agree.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Walton, are you available?
Thank you, Paul. I'll disconnect from the call.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
Okay, so
Tony Boss, can you want these back?
Mr. Creighton, yes, if you don't mind.
Attorney Creighton, you want these back?
So yes. Board members present, we have hard copies of the offer, counter offer from Kevin Walton, dated July 25th, 2023. Board members online, I sent that to you a few days ago. Just by way of brief background, regarding 2023-09 UP, Mr. Walton is a member of the Social Equity Council. He filed his SFI, I think about a month and a half late, and he's asking for a reduction of the fee from $5 per day to $2.50 per day. I apologize up front. I don't have the exact number of days late. I thought that was in his counteroffer, but once again, he is asking for a reduction by half of the original fine.
And how late was it?
I believe it was a month and a half.
Is this the first time he's filed?
Yes.
But of course, it wasn't his fault.
Well, he's explaining.
Yes, he thought it was junk mail.
What's a new council too?
If you see something from a state agency and you're afraid it's junk mail, you just click forward so that you don't actually open it. You can see where it came from fully, and then you're a little more better informed about what you have in front of you. So that's willful ignorance.
So the amount that's owed, Mark, the total amount?
Right.
Just under $200?
Around there, yeah. I can't say for sure. I apologize.
Okay.
I'm disinclined to give him a break. I really am. You know, you got to pay better attention to emails. I know everybody gets a lot of junk and spam, but there's a way to see what is or isn't real spam. And obviously, it caught his attention enough that he eventually went to his boss and asked about these emails to find out, well, yeah, they're real.
Well, that's why I was asking, what was the time frame from when they started till he finally responded to them?
I don't believe he was responding to the emails. I believe he was responding to people trying to get in touch with him.
Right, and that was...
And that was the impetus for him filing eventually.
And I'm sorry, did you tell us what was the time frame?
I think it was about a month and a half.
Month and a half.
So, 30 days would be...
150.
Right. Half again, 75, 25. And he wants to give you half of that. I wouldn't go to half.
No, I
I would go to $200.
Yeah, I agree with Charles on that.
Jason, anybody have any input? I say that we don't know the exact amount. We're approximating it at about $250, and that I would accept $200 as a settlement. He got lots of emails. He just didn't pay attention to them. Have any input? Agree or disagree?
I sympathize if, you know, I think, you know, when someone comes on board, they need to be informed that there are these obligations, but I'm not inclined to take the counter offer because he, as you said, deleted a bunch of emails that he should have paid attention to.
And what are the mitigating factors that would even cause us to lower it to 200 at this point?
I think the only mitigating factor is that, gee, it wasn't my fault. I didn't know. So don't treat me harshly because I'm really a nice guy.
Was he supposed to be on? Did he say he'd like to be on today's call to explain himself?
So he has something pre-planned, and he was on for a brief time period, but is no longer on the phone call. I can only surmise that he had to be at that meeting. I know his intention was to be here for this.
I did see him logged in earlier.
Right. You know, instead of giving if you're going to come back with another offer, what I recommend is instead of going with a dollar amount specifically, maybe split the difference on a per day average. So between $5 a day and $250, maybe just pick something up.
Okay, $350 a day.
Oh my goodness.
Multiply that by 45.
Well, what Laura was saying, they're not giving any leeway on this. How do you know what to come up with? And yes, it's a nominal amount of money, but I think it's also, is it a learning experience? Perhaps. So I think I'm with Laura.
I'll just add that, you know, in over the many years on the board, this comes up a lot. And we've scrutinized the system, we've scrutinized the process, and we've determined that it's a pretty solid process.
Yeah.
And each and every time we've made an exception, there are typically extenuating circumstances, a termination of employment, or there's something there that causes us to consider the situation. Absent that, I'm not inclined to give any sort of break. It's a really good system that's administered in a high quality way. It is what it is.
Got my vote.
Okay. So I don't think
we don't vote.
No concession.
We don't. Yeah. The feeling of the board is
no concession.
I mean, I would say also, just since you, the consensus is met, is that we were able to obtain one email in 2022 that he was notified by his office and about the original filing, so when he first came on board.
Okay. So,
for what it's worth.
You just weren't important enough.
Chunks.
All right, I'll love it. Thank you, Charles.
Enough. I agree. Anybody should do. I mean, it's so easy to throw a number out saying I'll split the difference with you. I get it. I do.
Like, I was like, okay. So I don't know how much support he was getting.
How many of us get those kind
of yeah.
emails?
Yeah,
and they
should
be good.
I think
that's why I put my husband and say, is this legit or what? All right. So I think
we must be at the lobbyist audit reports, right? All right, no. Mark Creighton and Carolyn. I'll turn it over to the two of you.
Thank you, Chair Pastor Holmes. Good afternoon, board members. This is Carol Langevin for the record. This is the Patrick. In your packet, you have the audit report for Universal Healthcare Foundation of Connecticut. The following findings were noted in the audit report. They had two late quarterly filings. One was for a 2020 reporting period, and the other was for a 2021 reporting period. Each of those were one day late. We also found an overstatement to his communicator totaling $27.17 in 2021, and an understatement of under other reportable expenditures totaling $15.38 also in 2021. Both the overstatement and the understatement were amended to correct the discrepancies. And we're happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for Carol? All right, can I get a motion to approve the lobbyist audit report on Universal Healthcare Foundation of Connecticut?
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Thank you, Jason. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? That motion passes. Thank you. And for GMP Real Estate Solutions.
Thank you, Chair Castro-Cohn. Good afternoon, board member. For the record, Mark Creighton, Deputy Ethics Enforcement Officer. In your packet, you have the audit report for GMP Real Estate Solutions. There are three findings, which I'll go over. The first finding is a late EKOB, the client lobby registration, 2020, roughly 1,196 days late. Finding number two are late ETH 2Ds for 2020. All the quarterly ETH 2Ds, which is the first quarter, the second quarter, and the third and fourth quarter, which is combined, were late. And in 2021, the first quarter ETH 2D was late, and the second quarter ETH 2D was late. As for finding number three, they overstated payments to its communicator by $27,916.96. As a result of the audit, they recognized this and amended the filings to correct that overstatement. And I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any. Just wanted to provide a written response as well, which you have your materials.
Any questions for Mark? Sounds like they've assured us that they've now got systems in place to make sure that these sorts of things don't happen again, right?
Is this likely that we will potentially audit them again in the near future to make sure?
Well, we're
still just going to go with the lottery system.
Just random audits.
Any other questions for Mark? All right, can I get a motion to approve the audit report for GMP Real Estate Solutions?
So moved.
All right, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? That motion passes. Thank you very much. And on to our part with our Education and Communications report.
Thank you, Chair Castro-Cohn. This month was full of positive interactions with the media. We were both helping them in things where ethics were part of the headlines, as you saw in your packet, and also a number of other issues that we were in the background, but just providing information and support when needed, clarifying the office's role or, you know, what would constitute a violation of the code of ethics. Our outgoing communications included the monthly newsletter to liaisons. We've since giving you the packet, I have completed one of my what's next items already. So our digest for the governor is already ready to be PDF'd and sent over. So we're thrilled about that with a new freshened up look as well as updated background information. So we're moving full steam ahead on minor updates to things on the website and our major overhaul of our lobbyist resources and then getting started on the strategic plan. So we are looking forward to a number of trainings coming up in the next few months, including the Auditors for Public Accounts, which required us to refocus from just generic executive branch agency to legislative branch and audit-specific advice. And we are continuing next week our next meeting with the State Contracting Standards Board to help them in developing their ethics training module, which their software, as I noted last month, we're hoping as we sort of try before we buy, might decide to implement ourselves in the future. So if I have any questions, I'm all ears and available, and thank you very much.
I love these one-pagers that you're doing.
Me
too.
They're
great. Really, very, very useful, especially on this SFI issue. There's so much confusion on that, so great work there. Any questions?
Just a comment. The municipal page is wonderful, too, as I've mentioned to you. But giving Sarah a big head, you know that.
It's due.
I share that with her.
Well, well deserved.
Yes, it is.
That was a lot of work, so.
Good job.
All right. Thank you very much, Sarah. And on to Peter Lewandowski for our Executive Director Report.
Thank you, Chair Castricone. Just have a couple, actually three points I want to raise. First one on our personnel level. We are in the process of hiring another staff attorney in the enforcement division. We've gone through all the approval at both DAS and OPM. And within the next few days, I hope, hopefully sometime next week, we'll be able to post the job announcements on the statewide job portal. The position will be advertised for 3 weeks, and it will be open to the public. Obviously, the focus for this position is on some experience in litigation, since this will be an enforcement-based position. I hope, with everything goes according to schedule, to hold interviews in the second half of September. So I'll keep you posted on that. Office expansion, obviously, because of the changes within our office. The first part of our office reconfiguration has been completed. Brian, Sarah, and Anne have new offices. Brian is now located across the hall from our main office. His neighbor is Colleen Murphy, who's the head of Freedom of Information Commission. Sarah's right next to my office, and Anne is now in Sarah's former office. So Jen and Al, their workstations will be readjusted, which obviously that's the second part of the reconfiguration. We're waiting for some parts to arrive. If you recall, some of those parts that this building holds are made far abroad, and I think that's evidently in Germany and other parts of the world. So we're waiting. They're supposed to arrive in mid-September. However, I would like to get the reconfiguration, at least the shifting of the workstations, done prior to that. So Al and Jen can be in their spots. I'm waiting for DAS and the vendor to confirm that readjustment. And finally, next month, before our September board meeting, we're planning to hold our annual staff board luncheon, if you recall. I will send an email, but if you could plan to arrive earlier than usual. We usually have it at noon, and we have our regular board meeting at 1 o'clock. So I will circulate suggested menus before, probably a week or two before our September 21st board meeting, and I hope you can join us here in person for the luncheon. To be determined as to whether it's going to be here or on our conference room, but I'll send all the information. So if you can make it, that would be great to mingle in more social setting than kind of formal board meeting.
Thank you for that, Peter. It's a great opportunity for us to get together. We do it every year, and we have a really good time. So thank you for organizing that. If you can be here, please join us. It will be fun. Anything for Peter? Questions? All right. Thank you, sir. And now we've reached the public comment portion of the meeting. I'll remain silent for a moment so that anyone who may be who may have called in online to speak. There's no one here in the conference room. Okay. Hearing nothing, we will. We do not need a closed session, nor do we need an executive session. So at this point, we just need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? You're adjourned, folks. Look forward to seeing you in person next month.